Thank you for tuning in to the WEEM Weekly Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM to share with you all about what is going on around the school and community. You can find present and future episodes of this podcast at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.
Welcome to episode 14 of WEEM Weekly. This is The Inner Thoughts with your host, Sam Duffer.
And Brooklyn Schuyler.
And this in this episode, Gracie Wolf, Caitlin Cowan, and Talon Gillespie sat down to discuss some fun topics with their interviewees. So stay tuned for that. First up, we have Gracie Wolf.
Welcome back to another WEEM Weekly episode. This is segment one. I'm your host, Gracie Wolf, and I am here with Mary Kennedy, who is a part of SAD. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Of course, thank you.
So let's kick it into gear here. So what does SAD stand for?
So SAD is Students Against Destructive Decisions, but a few years back it changed. So it used to be Students Against Drunk Driving, but throughout years and how things have changed a lot, SAD as a whole decided to change it to kind of broaden what we're able to talk about and the topics we hit.
Nice. I love that it evolved because destructive decisions always, you know, kind of evolve over the years. Yeah. Like back in like the 50s, it was like smoking. Now it's like vaping and other things. Yes. So love that for you. So my second question for you is, what is SAD's purpose?
So SAD goes around to like different elementary schools, or we do different events, kind of spreading the word about how destructive decisions can affect people's lives. So basically just like, We cover drinking and smoking and how that can affect you and your future, but we also go over different health topics. We've recently, some teachers have asked us to go over self-harm and just mental health, things that are destructive that are affecting yourself, but also the people around you.
Very nice. It kind of sounds like DARE. I have never been a part of DARE myself. I went to a private school when I was little, so they didn't even talk about like destructive decisions at all, which was kind of sad. But my friend did DARE once, and she loved it because they gave her like the beer goggle glasses.
Yes.
And they made her like walk in a straight line.
Yeah, we do that
she
too.
She couldn't. Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome.
That's
so,
one of the kids' like favorite things to do.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Because like she kept like trying to walk in a straight line and she kept falling.
Yeah.
She couldn't do it. So
we had to like played basketball one time with the goggles on, and it was just a mess.
Gosh, yeah, I bet like everyone would get hit by the ball or something like that. Oh, gosh, that sounds like a disaster, but a fun one, right?
Yes.
Don't do it. Don't
exactly.
Don't put yourself in a position.
It shows you
like
how
that.
Bad it really is,
for sure. So, how is SAD different from DARE?
I'd say the biggest difference is DARE is more like adults preaching to kids not to do it. But SAD is mainly kids preaching to kids. So I think a lot of the times it like takes a different effect. Some kids listen better when it's like teenagers coming to talk to them and stuff. But otherwise, they teach a lot of similar topics from what I remember when I was in DARE.
Nice. Yes. I love that it's like high school kids coming
down because
I bet elementary school kids, they kind of look up to you guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's the high school kids. Yes. We got to listen to them. At least some, hopefully, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. So why should people join this club?
So I joined SAD. I'm a sophomore, so I've been in it for 2 years, and it's really just cool seeing how well you can affect kids' lives. So, like, my mom's an elementary school teacher, so I was able to go to her classroom and kind of talk to them, and they just love to listen, and they really, I think my favorite part's probably questions, because when they ask questions, they're like, you know, they're actually paying attention and just trying to learn new things, and it's really cool to be able to teach them better decisions for their future.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. So, speaking from your perspective, how or why did you join the club?
I actually joined because my sister was in the club before me. So she just graduated last year, but she had been in the club all 4 years through high school. So I was like, oh, I'll join too. Oh. And I remember in elementary school, we do it a little different now, but they would come and like we would all be in the gym and they would do it. And they gave us like duct tape seatbelts. And I remember I didn't get a duct tape seatbelt one time, and I was so sad. So
like,
now I make sure to give every single kid one.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. You're like, I can't, like, this can't happen
again. Everybody has to get one.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So how can more people hear about this club?
Honestly, I think, like, just things like this. I only knew it because of my sister. I feel like since we, like, clubs aren't always so talked about at our school, and they're only really on that page list, just people talking about it. Word of mouth, things like that.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, as you said, you are obviously a member of SAD.
Yes.
What are some of the benefits of being a part of this club?
Some benefits would be, like I talked about earlier, just helping the kids and stuff. It's obviously, I've learned a lot throughout it, too. Like, we talk a lot about, like, statistics and stuff and things that I would have never thought of before. And as I'm teaching the kids, I'm also learning. So that's nice.
That's really nice. Yes. It kind of reminds me of radio because like here it's like a work-based classroom. Yeah. So we always like come in and start like learning ourselves and we help teach others.
Yeah,
so
it's really cool.
Yeah. So yeah. I love that both of our clubs slash like class here is like very like interactive and you're always learning.
Yes. Yeah,
it's important to learn.
Yes.
So you talk about like younger kids and helping them. So why is it important for kids to learn about destructive behaviors?
I feel like if you're taught things from such a young age, you're going to grow up and remember those things and learn them. But if you're only being taught this in high school, you may not like listen to it as well or already be making destructive decisions. Because we hit the elementary schools mainly. And as they're on their way to middle school, I mean, they could be making bad decisions in middle school too. So it's nice to be able to talk to them in elementary school as they're younger. And they just learn and they know the things that are affecting people and stuff.
Very nice. Yeah. Yes. I for sure think that a ton of younger kids should know about it. Because I think that, like you said, they ask questions because themselves, they have no idea. Yeah. Like, I think sometimes kids are in the dark and I love your club because they help like bring those to light.
For sure.
So what destructive decision do you highlight the most?
Recently vaping, just because it's become such a big thing, even in like middle schools and unfortunately, I've heard of stories in like intermediate schools. So as we hit like the topic of vaping and how much it can affect you and your future, it's just nice to be able to tell those kids that before they get into kids trying to pressure them into it. And it's also a lot of the time kids bring up their parents and like, oh, my parents smoke, my parents text and drive. So that's what like most of the questions are about. And that's really hard to hear because those kids don't usually like it. But I feel like being able to teach them about it is nice because they like learn what it is and stuff.
That's kind of sad. I didn't know that like intermediate kids were starting to do this too. I just remember back in middle school, like everyone was like, even high school still, they're like, you got a vape? Like you got something? Put their hand underneath the stall
and
sometimes.
It's like every grade now. And I'm just like, dang, that's why we have presentations when we go to elementary schools and a lot of it's on vapes. Like we show them, it's a horrible picture. It's of a vape box and it's designed as Sour Patch Kids.
Oh.
So it's like sour keen something. And it was like, that's what we put on our slideshow.
What is a vape box? Is it just like,
I don't even know.
The jewel?
I guess so. It was just like a box and it was like, and there's like a Minute Maid one, a vape beside like designed. So they're really targeting kids.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's horrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
This really shows like how crucial it is to really explain why this is destructive.
It's bad for you.
This is destructive, guys.
Because I mean, if a kid sees like a Sour Patch Kids box, they're gonna, oh, it's fine, whatever.
It's candy.
But now that they know like what vape is and what it does to you.
Yeah. Now they can see like, oh, they're tricking us kind of. Like this is not good for us. This is actually really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you guys are talking about destructive decisions, what is the most like helpful activity that you guys do with them?
So we do a couple different activities in my group. We do one where you have a straw and you blow into it and then you like jog in place for 30 seconds. And as you're doing that, it's supposed to demonstrate like how it would be if you were running, if you had like smoker's lung or something. And that one, they kind of just treat as a fun activity. I hope some of them realize. The duct tape seatbelt is always a good one. They learn seatbelts are so important. We preach that too. But I think my favorite, it's called like, oh, like wish on a star or something. And we divide them into groups and we give them like jobs. So like doctor, teacher, whatever. And we kind of have them become or come up with ideas on how like smoking or drinking can affect your job and your future. So that like if you were a pilot and you were drinking on the job, you could risk so many people's lives, stuff like that. And I think it's cool to see them thinking about different ideas and stuff.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do this now.
Yeah,
like,
I
never experienced this. So I'm like, hey, sign me up.
Yes,
I want to know, like, aside from health class, which is great.
Yeah.
But like, I want to know this. This sounds like fun.
Yes.
Very informative stuff.
Yeah.
So we talked about the benefits of being in the club. What are some of the challenges?
My challenges are during question time, actually, because like you're right on the spot and I don't want to say something like wrong or like have the wrong answer. So a lot of times we just have to be like, oh, we'll get back to you. Because a lot of the times kids ask really deep questions about like parents or stuff. And we don't want to preach to them like the wrong things, especially depending on what kind of households they live in. So that's the hardest part for me. But it's a lot of benefits, but mainly.
That's good. I love that it has more benefits than cons, of course. Sure. I mean, this sounds like a very informative and helpful club.
Yes.
So this is my last question. Uh-huh. So what is the significant impact that SAD has and leaves on the community?
I think the fact that we're just, as I keep saying, aiming for the kids and just appreciating them. I feel like all of our other clubs at our school are focused on us, and that's amazing. But us being able to focus on elementary kids, and we also do talk to like the health classes here and stuff, but it's nice being able to speak to them and help them.
That is really great.
Yes.
That is all the time that we have. But thank you so much, Mary, for joining me on this WEEM episode. Stay tuned, guys, because Sam Duffer and Brooklyn Schuyler are going to be with you with Inner Thoughts here on WEEM Weekly.
That was Gracie Wolf with Mary Kennedy. And Brooklyn, you're a member of SAD. So what can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, SAD is Students Against Destructive Decisions. And we go to the elementary schools and teach kids about some of the destructive decisions that they can make and how to prevent themselves from making those decisions and all the consequences and all that stuff.
So, I mean, that's really nice to do because young kids are very impressionable. So you want to teach them at an early age that you shouldn't do these kind of things.
Yep.
Like, what are some of the things you guys teach them?
So I know at least my group right now, we're talking about peer pressure and like the influence of social media and then relationships, whether it be friendships or relationships. But yeah, other things could be like vaping, smoking, drugs, alcohol, all the things.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really good to teach them about social media because it's very present nowadays that you want to make sure that they know the dangers of it going into teenagehood and getting phones and stuff and social media.
Yeah. And a lot of kids don't think about how bad it can be until you're in a situation where it is bad.
Yeah. And same with friend groups. I mean, those can really change how you act, how you think, because you want to fit in, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's really good teaching about that. Well, coming up after this short advertisement, we have Caitlin Cowan, so stay tuned for that. This is WEEM Weekly. Now here is a short promotion before our next interview. 91.7 WEEM is a student-run radio station. We provide everything from programming to music to live sports broadcasts and podcasts. But we can't do it without your support. Everything you donate goes to the station that the students operate here on 91.7 WEEM. Donate today at 917WEEM.org. Again, that is 917WEEM.org.
Welcome to another segment of WEEM Weekly. This is segment two, and today we are interviewing Wesley, and you are the top student of the senior class. Good to have you, Wesley.
That is correct. Nice to be here.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell us some things about you. Like, what do you do for school? Like, do you do any sports? What do you do outside of school?
Sure. So in school, I am a four-year member of both the baseball and the football team. I'm a part of Beta Club and National Honor Society. And outside of school, I am heavily involved in my church and our youth group. That's about it. Oh, and I work at Pizza King. I forget about that sometimes.
Nice. So do you have any special jobs or work to do as the top student?
No, not as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've not had to do anything special.
Yeah. But you are said to give a speech at graduation and also the top 10% ceremony.
That is true. I do forget. Yes. On May 1st, we have the top 10% banquet where each student in the top 10% choose a teacher who is especially impactful to them and they honor them that night. And then if I maintain this position of number one in the class, I will have to give a speech at graduation.
Nice. So have you always been the top student?
No, I believe it was second semester of sophomore year. Coming in freshman year, first semester, I was ranked 3 in the class. Then that following sophomore year, I was number 2. Then I believe it was the end of sophomore year, I jumped up to number 1, and I've been holding on ever since.
Awesome. So this is obviously a massive accomplishment, being the top student. So how do you feel about your accomplishments? Do you really like think like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm still here, or like?
I'm quite excited that I've been able to hold on to it for such the time I have, because I mean, a lot can happen in 2.5 years. So
right, yeah.
I'm quite glad I am held on to it. But, yeah, I'd say it hasn't really felt like it's, like, real. I haven't a lot of myself to think about it too much till I've got closer because I'm like, a lot can happen. So I try not to get my hopes up. But now I'm kind of on the home stretch now, if you can say. So it's exciting.
Especially for, like, finals. Finals is, like, the final round and everything. Oh, so how exactly did you get here and how long did it take?
Sure, I'd say I got here by, I'd say the main thing that I feel like sets me a little apart from everyone else, and like if you could say that in a way, would be like my involvement in class. I've always feel like that's been a big part of how I do as well as I do in school. I ask a lot of questions, I interact with the teachers a lot, try to get, if I have any sort of question, I'll always ask it, get my input out there. I feel like it helps to refine like my knowledge of the curriculum and make sure I am on the right track and I actually know what I'm doing and not just, because you can fake along as much as you can, but then come test time, you don't always know what's happening. But I feel like the more questions I ask and the more I pay attention in class, the better I do.
Yeah, overall. For sure. And like, it's also important for the teacher's job to like make sure that you are doing everything correctly. Cause you know, I mean, it's not usual for some teachers. Sometimes, you know, we all make mistakes and you know, so, what was the hardest part of getting here?
Sure, I'd say the hardest part would be the classes I've had to take. Just the sheer number of the challenging classes. Because some classes are weighted more than others, you have to take those if you want to be towards the higher ranks of the class. So each year consistently I've chosen to take the more difficult weighted classes. So each one individually isn't a terrible problem. But when you add them all up together and they accumulate, that's why I say the biggest issues come from is all the workload I have to do to keep up with them.
Yeah, and so you take almost all AP classes. So what are those classes that you take?
This year I'm in AP Bio, AP Calculus, AP Government, and then AP Lit. Yep, AP Lit.
Wow, that sounds really challenging, but it does make sense because you can't just be the number one student by taking the easiest classes. I mean, that's not really a challenge in how to prove yourself that you are the top of the class. Definitely taking harder classes would definitely prove that position for you.
I agree.
So you said you were heavily involved with your church and that's like a part of the community that you're involved with. So what exactly do you do for them?
Sure. So about every other Sunday morning, I help to run slides for the main service.
Mm-hmm.
And then I help out with, since a senior, I help out with our youth group Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
I'll help out to be like a kind of a student leader type of deal.
Nice. That's very important to have those kind of leadership positions because in the real world, you may get there as well. So I can definitely picture you as a leader of some type for anything, really. So what are your plans for after high school?
As of right now, I plan on going to Purdue, the Honors College, on a pre-med track.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do with that once I get into medical school. It's kind of still up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the plan as of right now.
That's really awesome. We have a lot of people, I've been noticing a lot of people wanting to go into the medical field. And that makes me so happy because we need those kinds of people, especially nowadays. We need a lot of like medical professionals and all those kinds of people. So how do you feel about giving a speech so you're giving a speech on the 10% award ceremony. So how do you feel about that one specifically?
Oh, that one I'm not too worried about because they don't expect. Well, I've been told that you assume that you're going to just read right off the thing you write down.
Yeah.
That one shouldn't be too bad because if I ever get nursing, I can just look down at my paper and then we'll be all right. But I'm still not a huge fan of public speaking, so I think it'll be a good test run for in case I do be number one. That way I'll have a little test run for graduation. That's what I'm viewing it as.
Yeah. So how do you feel about like maybe doing the graduation speech?
Not that excited, honestly. I think it'll be all right. I think when I get up there, I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the few days leading up to it is not going to be a fun time. A lot of nerves.
You just got to practice. I mean, coming from a performer myself, I always constantly practice what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it and, you know, you'll be fine.
I hope so.
So what would you say to your younger self about how you got here? Because once again, it's a massive accomplishment being the number one student so far. What would you say to your younger self about that?
I think I'd probably tell them, just remind them that to not take things too seriously, but to not put too much emphasis on one bad grade or one bad class.
Yeah.
That eventually it'll all even out. And if you focus too much on the one bad class or say you mess up on a test and you got a bad grade, you focus too much on that, it's going to affect the next test and the next class in the day.
For sure.
Just to keep focusing on the moment, live in the moment and not in the past. Or the present.
Yeah,
I mean,
for
the future,
sure.
Not present. Live in the present, not the future. Sorry.
No, you're good. So, and have you noticed from any of your like friends or like anyone that you know that like, oh, he's the number one student and everything has changed for you? Like, has that changed yourself personally?
I don't think it's changed me that much, at least not with those people who like my good friends who really know me. Maybe a couple people in the hallway will be like, hey, I know like you're really smart, top of the class, but all my good friends I've been friends with long before I was number one, it's all the same. Nothing really changed. When
yeah, that's great, because like, you know, there's a lot of jealous people who are like, oh, I wish I could be top of the class, but like it's good that you haven't changed yourself and become into like a cocky person, because no one wants that personally. No,
try to avoid that.
Yeah, exactly. My last question for you is, what would be the number one thing to tell your fellow classmates? Just give us a summary of like what you're planning for your speech. If you continue to be the top student all the way till graduation, what would you say to your classmates right now?
Sure. I think I'd say a similar thing to what I would say to my younger self. The thing of, you can't let one bad moment get you down. There's always going to be future opportunities where you can make up the mistake. Say you made a mistake, you can make it up. You'll always have a second chance to overcome the adversity you face, and just don't live in the past, then you'll miss the present, you know?
Yeah.
Live in the moment.
Very surreal. Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have here today. Thank you so much, Wesley, for coming in.
Absolutely.
So yeah, back to Brooklyn and Sam.
That was Caitlin Cowan with Wesley Kupferer. And you know, that's a great accomplishment to be the number one student of the senior class. I mean, he's worked really hard to get there, because there's a lot of bright students in the senior class. So that's really good for him. Wouldn't you say, Brooklyn?
Yeah, I agree. Especially being like the very top of your class. I mean, that's going to be huge. I know some really smart kids, even in like our sophomore class, and they're still like top 10, not even like top 5. So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of top 10%, he mentioned that he mostly just does speeches. And I believe at the top 10% ceremony, he will be giving a speech there. And at graduation, he'll be giving the main speech about how far we've come, all that jazz. Anyway, after this short advertisement, Talon Gillespie sat down with a representative of the farmers market here in Pendleton. This is WEEM Weekly.
Now here is a short promotion before our next interview.
Do you love sports?
And we have the best podcast for you. Join your hosts, Braden Folk, Ryan Davis, Aiden Wilson, Zion Palmieri, Eli Libler, Austin Peril, and Lucas Williams, for the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook, a bi-weekly podcast that dives into the world of professional and college sports. You don't want to miss it, so go to 917WEEM.org, YouTube, or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Welcome back to another segment of WEEM Weekly. My name is Talon Gillespie, and I'm joined by Karen Ledbetter, the market manager for the Pendleton Farmers Market. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so what is kind of like the purpose of the farmers market? Like, what do you guys like? What do they do?
So our farmers market brings local food, fresh food that you can get from a 50-mile radius, fresh food from our farmers. Either it be traditional cropping from the fields, or it be from greenhouses, hoop houses, things like that, to access for our community to be able to get.
Okay, so it's just kind of a place where farmers kind of go. They sell all of their products to people from around the community.
Right. So we not besides farmers, we have our home-based vendors who do prepared food. We have you know, your traditional cakes, pies, jams, jellies, things like that. You also have honey, which falls under farmers. So you think of farmers, when you think of farmers, you think of corn or soybeans or things like that. But there's other things that falls under agriculture. You have maple syrup from trees. You have honey as well.
Okay, so it's kind of just like a bunch of different collections of foods and stuff that people bring and sell to people from our community. Okay, so like I was saying earlier, you are the market manager for the farmer's market. What does that generally mean?
So as the market manager, I kind of oversee all of our vendors. We start about 6 months out. We ask for applications for everyone. We go through the applications. I have a committee of six right now. We go through all those applications. We approve the applications. So we look for our farmers. They're our main priority for our need. We have our home-based vendors as well. And then we fill in with our craft artisan as well.
Okay. So you've been with the farmers market for about, what, 4 years now?
Yes.
Okay. So how have you seen the attendance of vendors kind of change over the years? Has it grown? Has it kind of lessened?
When we took over when the Friends of Falls Park took over the farmers market, it had on average about 12 to 20 vendors. We have grown the market to the highest of 75 vendors a given Saturday.
Okay, so you said the Friends of Falls Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is that?
So the Friends of Falls Park is a 501c3. We are kind of the extended arm of the park board, the Pendleton Park Board, and we are there to promote, protect, provide, promote the park for future generations.
Okay. So you kind of already answered my next question about how many vendors show up. How many people normally show up to the farmer's market?
So in May, we have, last year was probably our biggest May that we've had in a long time. We counted around 3,000 people in May. We do see a dip off with school ending in July and August, and then it begins to grow again in August and September.
Okay, so the summer months are kind of like you're kind of like low months, and then during school and kind of when school's starting up, that's when you really have all the people showing up. Okay.
It helps because we have soccer and football there. So they come and they shop in between matches and games.
Right. Okay, so what's your main strategy for marketing the farmer's market? Like,
our main strategy, we market through Facebook, Instagram, Threads. That's our main one. We also go through the Pendleton Chatter page and through other outlets that way as well. We also market on our Friends of Falls Park page.
Okay. So it's a lot of like on social media type stuff. Mm-hmm. Where can like people find all of this social media? Like, what are your guys' like,
our handle?
Yeah.
So our handle is Pendleton, Indiana Farmers Market.
Okay. And when will the farmers market like actually be open? Like what days?
We run from May through September. We're every Saturday, with the exception of Heritage Fair weekend, which is September the 7th. We are open from 9 a.m. to 12:30, and we are located from the main entrance of Falls Park to John Street. So, yes, we stretch from the main entrance. We shut it down about 7 o'clock in the morning. We don't open that up till about 1:30 in the afternoon, and all of our vendors stretch along there, clear up to the community building.
Okay, so you kind of have that whole little area for that farmer's market thing. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how do you guys prepare for like the opening of the farmer's market?
So we have a vendor meeting and it's mainly for our new vendors to come in who has never done our market before to kind of understand our layout, or it's even for some vendors who have never even done a farmer's market before as well, to understand our rules and our regulations for setup times, tear down times, where their booths are going to be located, and how things are handled on a daily basis. But leading up to it, like I said, we pull in the applications, we go through all of those, and we try to look for a well-balanced group of vendors for people to shop from.
Okay, so you just kind of meet up with all the people that are going to attend and just kind of make sure everyone knows what they're doing.
Correct.
Okay, so besides, obviously, you know, agricultural corns and all that stuff, what else is sold there?
So we have corn, which a lot of people come in May, they're expecting sweet corn. I can tell you right now, sweet corn is not until the middle of July. So you're going to have early on, you're going to have your root vegetables, you're going to have your beets, you're going to have your carrots, onions, things like that. Then as we start moving into June, you're going to see asparagus and things like that, your berries coming into July. It just varies, things like that. So at ours, we have everything. We have sweet peppers, we have bell peppers, sweet corn, peas, you name it, just about any fruits or vegetables that we have at the market. Baked goods, we have cupcakes, cinnamon rolls, anything that you can think of at the market as well.
Okay, so you guys just have a group of like everything you can find.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys sell anything besides food there? Is there any?
We do. So, like I said, our artisans with all of their arts and crafts that they have, you can get pillows that are handmade. You can get aprons, various things like that. We have a smith, I'm trying to think what she actually calls hers. It's like steelwork. Smithworking, I think, is what she calls it, where she actually takes metal and bends it into objects.
Okay, and that's the Smith like family farms, like the store.
That's the title of what her craft is called.
Smithing.
Smith metalworking, something like that.
I thought you were talking about the smithing, like Smith family farms.
No.
Okay, so do you guys host any events besides the farmers market?
So the Friends of Falls Park also hosts the Heritage Fair. Which the Heritage Fair is in September, like I said, the first Saturday, Friday and Saturday after Labor Day, we host that. Then we have events in the wintertime as well, hot chocolate in the park, luminaries in the park, things like that. As far as the farmers market, we have certain days where we have themes. We have National Farmers Market Week, which is in August, and we do have a petting zoo that comes out. Memorial Day, we try to remember our veterans and we honor them with stars and stripes. And this year we're going to ask the American Legion and the MVETs to come out and have their poppy sales that weekend. But we just have multiple themes throughout the.
Okay. So you guys could kind of go through like holidays and kind of match up the holiday with whatever.
We do. Then we get into July, August, we have the dog days of summer. We celebrate that. And then the end of the farmers market, we have our pet parade where you can dress your dog up into costumes and we walk and parade through the market.
Okay, so what is the dog days of summer? Like what kind of goes on there?
So dog days of summer last year, it was our first year doing that. We had our pup cups. We brought in vendors who had dog leashes, dog bowls, things like that, centered around the dog genre, pet genre, I should say, for them to sell to the public.
Okay. So what does a normal kind of like, what is a average farmer's market day kind of look like? Just people go set up?
So an average farmer's market day, it depends on the size of the market and it depends on the time of the market. You can have a market that is 2 hours long. You can have a market that is 5 hours long. If you get out into San Diego, out where they're on the coast and it's a bigger market, bigger city, you could look at 5 hours for a market for that. A typical market day is, like I said, we get there at 7 a.m. We're setting up barricades to block off. Vendors are arriving. New vendors, it's their first day there. We're showing them to where their spots are. Then they begin to set up their tents and set out their wares. And then we do not open until 9 o'clock. You cannot purchase until 9 o'clock. And then the market ends at 12:30, but you can still make purchases after 12:30. Some people are lingering around. We have our information booth. You can stop by. We have t-shirts for sale. We have the I Love Falls Park, which is very popular as well. If you need to find out about a booth, you can stop the information booth too. We have community booths that are there too. So we open those up for our nonprofits and community organizations. And then at 11, or I want to say at 1:30, we tear the barricades down and open the road back up.
Okay. So what nonprofits do you guys have there? Is it just like people just kind of show up?
So they have to schedule through us. Right now we have Main Street Pendleton who has set up. We have Park Fest who will be giving away tickets or registering to win tickets for Park Fest. We have the duck race coming up. They sell the entries into the duck race. Last year, we had Boy Scouts come out and sell their popcorn. Victory Chapel Church in Ingalls came and had kettle corn last year. Just all different varieties.
Okay, so you just have anyone who wants to kind of be there, just go schedule, and then they have a little community booth.
They have to schedule, but we have to like verify them to make sure that they fit into the categories. Yes.
Okay. Well, that is all the time I have for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me. And up next, we have Sam in Brooklyn.
That was Talon Gillespie, who sat down with a representative of the farmers market. And Brooklyn, personally, I really like the farmers market. I've gone the past few years, and I just like to see how involved the community gets selling all their different goods and supplies and just how many people actually show up and buy stuff. It's really neat.
Yeah, I've never been to the farmers market around here, but I do go to like this little fair thing that they have in Jay County at their high school for the charity that I run with my family. And it's kind of like the same thing where you get to go around to all these different booths and buy things. And then we get donations from like those booths and then we sell them in an auction. So I've kind of been to something like that, but not been to the one here.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like in Etsy in person. It's like Etsy in person. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just different goods, like engraved wood. Sometimes it's custom made clothing, and it's just, yeah, stuff you'd find on Etsy, but they're selling it in person, which is kind of nice to have that person-to-person contact, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Especially since, like, I guess with Etsy and all these other websites, I guess, that you don't know where it's coming from, but it's kind of cool to see that people are coming from, like, local areas.
Yeah, and you make sure it's genuine, because, like, with Etsy, it's a picture. You can't confirm it's actually, like, that. That's what it is. But when you get it, when you're seeing it in person and buying it, you know what you're buying is this. Which is really nice. But that will do it for the Inner Thoughts this season, actually. The next two episodes will not have the Inner Thoughts, but do stay tuned. In 2 weeks, episode 15 will air, which is a really exciting episode that will be the seniors episode. So stay tuned for that. You'll hear from all of the radio seniors. I've been Sam Duffer with my co-host,
Brooklyn Schuyler.
And this is the Inner Thoughts on 91.7 WEEM Weekly.
Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 91.7WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.